Hey, I'm Scott Horton here for WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson is a successful former hedge fund manager who provides his subscribers with a very real window into his investments, updating them on every move he makes in the markets. Right now, Mike's anticipating a bear and is dumping all the stocks while the getting is good, investing instead in gold and the commodities. Protect your assets and learn the wise ways of the markets. WallStreetWindow.com. And check out Mike Swanson's great contribution to the history of the rise of the American Empire and the war state. Available at ScottHorton.org/Amazon. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show, The Scott Horton Show. And our first guest up today is MJ Rosenberg. He's formerly, I know you hate it when I say this, MJ, but it's relevant. He's formerly a staffer with the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, although that was a long, long time ago. He would hasten to have me hasten to add. But now he's a peace activist kind of a guy. He writes at the Huffington Post. And I don't know, what happened to your website? It looks like it's gone, mjrosenberg.com. Is that right,
MJ? Yeah, I took it down. I have my own list. Which goes out to thousands of people, and I prefer to show my stuff that way. And our Huffington Post. I mean, it goes out to Huffington Post and Washington Spectator and Tycoon. So I need my own website. Nobody went to read my stuff at the website. They always looked at other places.
There you go. Okay, well, yeah, certainly I always look at Huffington Post for the latest. And this will be an issue later on in the interview. I want to talk about your latest there about the BDS movement.
Okay.
Very interesting article to me. But first of all, let's see what kind of coverage we can get about the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee meeting this week in Washington, D.C. What are the highlights so far? I guess Benjamin Netanyahu has spoken.
It's over. I mean, it ended
already.
Oh,
is it over?
Yeah, it ended. They saved the big moment, you know, his speech for the end. And the very last thing following his speech is sort of like gives the AIPAC delegates their marching orders, and then they go up to Capitol Hill. It was interesting. We had snow yesterday when the conference was ending and the people were going up to the hill. And it was on all the weather reports. They kept saying, there's a big tie-up around the Washington Convention Center. Avoid that area because there are 14,000 people come in for that thing. And they all take cabs and buses from the convention center to go up to the hill. But they basically tie up the whole city. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's their – I'm not objecting to that. But I'm just – it's a big deal. They fill up the entire Washington Conference Center.
Right.
Which is incredible.
Well, wait, so you're saying when the AIPAC conference is over, everybody goes over to Capitol Hill?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose people who are, disabled don't go. They have meetings scheduled with every single congressional office. I was talking to a friend about who works on Capitol Hill, works for a senator, and I said, oh, AIPAC is up there. So he said, I said, is that your second worst day of the year? Because I worked on Capitol Hill for 15 years. So he said, second worst. What's the worst? So I said, well, when all the right to lifers go up on January 20th, and they all march with their red roses about the unborn and all that, and they have even more people than AIPAC. He said, oh, no. They're nothing like AIPAC. He said, one, they don't demand to see the congressman themselves. They're happy with staff. Two, if they have a staffer, they don't demand a higher staffer. And three, they don't give us orders. They're polite. They let us make our points. They make their points. And he says an entirely different thing. No, I can't. He said, I can't stand them, but I'll take them any day. They don't come up and boss us around like they own us. But I thought it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, so what is the worst day then if it's not this one?
The worst day is the AIPAC one. I thought it was the second worst after the Right to Lifers.
Oh, I see.
He said, absolutely not. These people, the Right to Lifers don't act like they're entitled.
I thought you were going to say, no, it's another event that's also hosted by AIPAC, or maybe when the Christians United for Israel come, or something like that.
Well, yeah, I don't know about that, but this is just one office. But I remember when I was up there, it was awful when they'd come in, because they demand, they really, they make, they demand to see the the senator or congressman, they often, I've known them just walk into meetings where the doors are closed. I mean, nobody does that. I mean, but I guess they think it's their Congress. They paid for it. So, hey, what can you do?
Yeah, the senators, they're just the help.
Exactly.
That's funny. Well, I mean, that's really something else. I guess it's funny because, you know, I'm a libertarian, so I'm not much into democracy because what right does 51% have to boss me around on any issue, really?
Okay.
But it comes down to it, I kind of admire the organization and the stick-to-itiveness and the ability to simply work within the system. And that's not to say that they don't work around the system, because they do, but that's the Grant Smith interview coming up next. But for our purposes, the Israel lobby, AIPAC, and their associated groups, they play the game of democracy so well. I mean, the way you describe, they're so arrogant, it probably backfires on them at least a little bit. But when it comes down to making sure that they have somebody there to push a congressman or a staffer or whoever on each and every issue, they've got it covered. They've got somebody there. When the word goes out that everybody call everyone on your telephone tree and everyone email everyone on your email list and everyone who gets an email actually do the thing that it's telling you to do. Send the letter, make the phone call, do the thing. They do it and they get it done. They're better than the AARP. They're better than the gun lobby. They're better than anyone at going up there and just making sure. Oh, and the one other thing would be if you cross them, if you're a congressman and you cross them, they will guarantee bankroll your primary challenger. And if you beat him, then they'll bankroll your general election challenger. And if you beat him, then they'll see you in 2 years, you SOB, and they're not going to forget.
Yeah, it would all be, it's all very working within the democratic system and all that.
But it's hardball, man. They play hardball bad.
It's hardball, you know? But the difference between the AARP and the NRA and the other ones that you mentioned is they're doing it at the orders of and for a foreign government.
Ah, well, and there's the rub.
that had to be something, and that's it. There is no other lobby for a foreign government. It's like that. Not even close. I mean, I can't even. I mean, nothing close.
But what if we had a peace lobby like that, where everybody who was anti-war, you know, no matter what we hate about each other on any other issue, we just always work together on anti-war, and we're hardcore like this, and we're all on one big email list like this, and that kind of thing.
It would be great. It would be great. That's a dream.
It's my ultimate fantasy to have that for just the 300 million of us versus D.C., and the 300 million of us say none of this, no more.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But that, you know, it's not going to happen. I mean, it might happen, but you're younger than me. Maybe
we need to get the Canadians to bankroll it, or the, you know, I don't know, the Brazilians or somebody, I don't know.
It's certainly not the Canadians. They're even further to the right than we are these days.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man.
Started on that.
Yeah.
Well, you want to comment a little bit more about that? Because I don't pay much attention. I know they have a right-winger in power now, but I don't know much about him.
Oh, on war peace issues, they're crazy. He's not just a right-winger. He's a religious fundamentalist, but I didn't even know they had those up there. And he's crazy on the subject of Israel. He recently, he went over to, the Kenyan Prime Minister went over there and gave a speech that would shame an American president. It was just ridiculous. So, I mean, I'm not going to hold that against all Canadian system, but still.
Yeah.
There are fewer countries for us to run and hide to in when the time comes.
Yeah.
All in all, though, Canada is better on most things. But I wanted to say about the AIPAC conference. I think they would have been better off had they not had it, had it been canceled because of the snow. I bet they were sitting there watching the weather reports and hoping they had an excuse to cancel. Because the purpose, what happened was, you know, they beat Obama on the Iran sanctions thing. When Obama said, I'll veto the bill, more sanctions, which would destroy the negotiations, AIPAC lost, and the Democrats all abandoned the AIPAC bill, and then AIPAC abandoned the AIPAC bill, and amazingly said, well, it was a Republican bill, and we're bipartisan, which is so ridiculous. They wrote the bill. Republicans didn't write the bill. But anyway, they abandoned the whole thing. So, man, they were hurting. They had lost big time. So the point of this conference should have been that they could show, we're here, we're strong. But it didn't. Obama scared them so much that it was just You know, they're two speakers from the administration, the Secretary of State, who in their eyes is all evil because he's the one behind this Iran negotiation. But they, you know, they applauded him and cheered him, even though privately they were seething. But they had been told not, no booing, none of that. And they had this Secretary of Treasury, Jacob Lew, there. He defended, of course, his own administration. They sat there and applauded and did all that. There was no saber rattling at Obama at all because they now know he fights back. He doesn't like them. He doesn't like them. He doesn't like their prime minister either. So they're scared of him. And he went and he said that, you know, those words in his State of the Union speech in which he said, you know, I will veto Iran, you know, APAC's Iran sanctions bill because it's against our national security. That scared them. I mean, he was all of a sudden saying, which side are you on? Yeah. So they were kind of, so at their conference where, you know, they could have either fought back hard or kind of rolled over, they rolled over again. And then it ended with Netanyahu giving a speech. The Netanyahu speech is kind of a classic. It's his usual stuff that the Iranians are the worst people in the world and that they're going to lob nuclear weapons at Israel and you know, and we're all going to die and all this stuff. But he said it jokingly this time. He made jokes about it, like he was kidding. Like, huh. We all know I'm going to say this. I forgot what the... Oh, he said... He said the Iranians are going to start shooting Scud missiles at the United States. And then he said, it used to be just a threat for us, but now they're going to be a threat to you, too. And he said, you know the phrase, this Scud's for you? Well, America, it's going to be this Scud's for you. Ha ha ha! Everybody laughed.
Are you
laughed.
Kidding me? Scuds, yeah. He threatened us with. I hadn't realized that continental drift had sped up by 100 million percent.
Yeah, he didn't threaten it. He just was making a joke. Yeah. But the very fact that he was joking about it, it was, you know, usually it's like gloom and doom. It's 1942, and it's to be the end, and Hitler's taken over again. He kind of said all of it, but his heart wasn't in it. Yeah. And then he spent 25% of the speech. I know that because I counted. 25% of the speech denouncing the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions movement, and said how it's terrible and anti-Semitic, and college students should avoid it like the plague. And as I wrote in my piece in Huffington Post, I thought it's like, it would be like Lyndon Johnson in the middle of the Vietnam War giving a major speech and attacking SDS. You know, the left. It's just like, what? Why are you attacking BDS? I understand you don't like it. I don't like it either. But the point is, that's not your problem. Your problem is the damn occupation. And that's why you got a problem. And your problem is you tried to get the United States into a war with Iran. That's your problem.
Right.
Now, what a diversion that is. Oh, blame it on you know, college students and activists who, right or wrong, favor, you know, boycotting and divestment and sanctions on Israel. And that's the way the speech ended. It ended with all that, and they gave a, you know, standing ovation, and it was a big nothing.
Yeah, it sounds just like a big nothing. Now, hold it right there. We got to take this break. We'll be right back with MJ Rosenberg, okay, writing at the Huffington Post. We'll be right back after this. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for CashIntoCoins.com. So you want to buy some Bitcoins? CashIntoCoins.com makes it fast, easy, and safe to get Bitcoins. Just deposit the money into their account at any of the major banks they support, and then just email them a picture of the receipt and your Bitcoin address, and you get your Bitcoins. Almost always the same day it clears. In a tough, competitive new market, CashIntoCoins.com has the advantage. A great system and great customer service to keep you coming back. That's CashIntoCoins.com. Just click the link in the right margin at ScottHorton.org. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show, The Scott Horton Show. I'm talking with MJ Rosenberg about the big APAC meeting in Washington, D.C., and Netanyahu's speech, and then, of course, policies. The ones in question, of course, Palestine, Iran, also Syria, of course. Let me ask you this before we get back into it. MJ, are you aware of and or are you going to the National Summit to reassess the U.S.-Israel special relationship this Friday at the National Press Club?
I am aware of it, and I'm not going because I'm too old for these meetings. I don't do it anymore.
Oh, okay.
I don't go to anything. I sit in my house and write. That's what I do.
Well, that's good too.
If I actually went somewhere, or if you probably did an advertisement for it, I'd probably go because your ads could convince me to buy anything.
Oh, you like those, huh?
I love them. I gotta tell you, I mean, I have a kid who's a big radio guy in New York.
Yeah.
And he's really good at selling stuff on the air. I always get amazed by how, because now on radio, of course, as you know, you pitch one thing after another. There's no more, it's no longer between the music.
Right.
And I always like, and you are the best. I know it has nothing to do with your show. You just obviously cut this out. But whenever I listen to you, I think, wow, if you advertised Walmart, I'd shop at Walmart.
Wow, that's pretty good. I actually have, I don't know if I got it queued up here, but I have a commercial for it. I'm actually giving the opening remarks
First
thing in the morning. It's the whole thing is 8 to 5. And,
really? Holy
and I'm
cow.
Doing the opening welcome everybody thing, and then I'm hosting one of the panels later in the afternoon. But it's going to be all of my guests who care about the Middle East at all are going to be there, man.
Yeah,
where
is it?
It's at the National Press Club.
At the National Press Club. And what would be the website for it?
It's natsummit.org.
Natsummit.org. Okay, yeah. Good.
And they got a general, and they've got a former FBI agent or two, I think at least two. They're going to have a whole panel of former CIA guys, including Giraldi, Scheuer, and McGovern, and a couple others I forget. And Phil Weiss is going to be there, Justin Raimondo, Scott McConnell from the American Conservative Magazine, and Karen Kotowski, the former Lieutenant Colonel of the Air Force,
she's
who saw the neocons lie us into war from her seat at the Pentagon, and Stephen Walt from Harvard is going to be there. And so, yeah, man, it's going to be cool.
And you're the like the moderator?
No, just I'm giving the opening talk, and I'm moderating one of the panels.
Okay, I'm looking for your picture here.
Oh, am I on there?
Well, it is everybody speaking. There's been alphabet. And I don't know where you are on this, but you're obviously.
Well, I'm
here.
Not really giving a talk. I'm just gonna.
Okay.
I'm a little bit of window dressing, but that's.
I see. Yeah. Wow.
But Raimondo from AntiWar.com.
The greats and the near greats of the movement are there. That's for sure.
Say what now?
When you do it in the National Press Club, how many people does it hold?
I don't know, but it's going to be packed. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess depending on the weather, but.
Yeah, right. Oh, Mark Perry's going to be there, too. I like him a lot.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, what are we talking about?
You showing up there so we can shake hands in person. It'd be great.
Yeah. Okay. I don't even know what you look like. If you're a radio guy. I'd rather not, because this way I have this image of you in my mind,
there you,
you
go.
Know?
Yeah, no, I'm very handsome and tall.
Oh, I'm sure you
very
are.
Very broad shoulders.
Oh, no kidding. Well, that's kind of exciting. I might want to, you know, I need a bodyguard. I'm going to look into it.
All right, cool. All right, so now, let me ask you this about the Israel lobby. So they had three pretty big losses in the last year. They lost over Hegel, although not that he was great, but at least they were against him and lost on that issue.
Exactly.
He became a SecDef anyway. And then they lost on Syria last fall. I almost think that Obama deliberately asked them to help on Syria and then left them hanging out to dry, that he already was working on that deal with the Russians to get rid of the chemicals instead. And that he just
he was already working on the Iran stuff at that point, and he wasn't telling the Israelis about it.
Right. And then,
so,
he might,
that's a good point.
Iran next. I'm not certain of that. I just sort of suspect, but I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
So now, as you said, Obama, and I think it took this, really, it took him mentioning it in the State of the Union speech that, listen, you better not do these sanctions. I mean it.
Right.
For them to lose on that one. But that's a pretty severe smackdown from the President of the United States. And there's been a few different articles about how, you know, there are some people in the Israel lobby, I guess mostly those who lean more Democrat, who are saying, man, we really want to be opposite the President of the United States
right.
on such an important issue, even if that's, you know, even if he disagrees with Netanyahu on this. I mean, we are Americans after all, right? Kind of there's a little bit of dissonance going on there finally, I think. And I just wonder whether you think that means that the fight over the final deal will be a little bit less than what we might have expected prior. You know, I see Josh Block and some of the other guys on Twitter talking about how no enrichment, but
right, exactly.
Yeah. You know, what do you think?
You know, I think that they're hoping that the Republicans take over the Senate. this year, and I think that that, you know, that'll help them a little bit. But you know,
that'd
the only thing
late,
can really
though.
Help.
I mean, this deal's going to be April or bust, right?
Yeah, right. And in the, looking toward the future, you know, I could see it's very easy to see a Republican Senate this year, or a fully Republican Congress, but it's really hard to imagine a Republican president. And it's presidents that present them with their problem. It's presidents who make state of the unions. It's presidents who ultimately make foreign policy, not Congress. And, so they've got to think, you know, if they're going to have the Democrats around for the foreseeable future, could be the end of the lobby. I mean, I don't want to get too optimistic, but, even Hillary Clinton, who I think is the most likely Democrat, presidents only like to get pushed around so far. They are, you know, so, God, Obama. I was thinking about how at the conference, at the APEC conference, everyone was denouncing Obama for being like weak on Ukraine. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going on and on. He, you know, privately, you know, he's spineless. And also in the panel discussions, he's spineless. He doesn't stand up for anything. And I thought, yeah, but he sure stood up to you, didn't he? I mean, that's, it's interesting that he of all people would have picked this fight. But he did, and he showed you can win.
Interesting to me that Israeli nationalists would side with Ukrainian nationalists when they're outright parading around with SS lightning bolts on their posters.
They don't care about that, though.
Like, there is such a thing as too far, right, guys?
It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I was talking with Sheldon Richmond, and we agreed that anybody parading around with SS lightning bolts is not concerned that you might mistake them for a Nazi. That's a Nazi.
Right. It's
unless
true.
It's Halloween and maybe he's, you know, British royalty or something. But otherwise, you're pretty much.
It's pretty hilarious, though. How we're being so indoctrinated here on this Ukraine business. It's like you put the television on and it's 1971 and it's the Cold War. And you want to like say, wait a minute, this is Russia, but there is no more Soviet Union. Why do you talk as if it's the Soviet Union and we're in this zero-sum battle with them? They so obviously missed, you know, the bipolar world.
Right.
And, it's just crazy. It's just to listen to John McCain. That man is nuts. Absolutely nuts. I mean, it's amazing. We're lucky that Obama is in there now, I think, because I don't think he's going to do, as hawkish as he can be, I don't think he'd do anything like what McCain or even Romney would do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly about Romney. I'm sure he'd be worse in this situation, but I'm positive that there's just no question, I don't think, MJ, that if McCain had won in 08, that we would have all been dead in a war with Russia a long time ago.
Yeah,
he would have gotten us killed in 2009 or 2010 in a thermonuclear exchange.
I agree. I also agree with you that I don't think Romney's the same. I think Romney just, you know, he talked that game to win the nomination and all that. But I don't think the mayor. Look, I don't think he's out of his mind. I think that
McCain's out of control.
Is nuts.
He is.
What?
McCain, I think, would have gotten us into war with Russia.
I absolutely agree. He's unbelievable. It's so ironic in a way. I guess because he has such a lousy military record, he doesn't have that kind of Eisenhower, Hegel, you know, people who really saw combat. I don't want to be too mean to John McCain, but he spent the entire war when he wasn't, you know, wasn't in the POW camp, dropping bombs on civilians from way up in the air. He never really saw combat. So unlike the model of Grant, Eisenhower, Hegel, he thinks war's just terrific.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good when you're way up there, you know?
Well, and he's got the W. Bush problem, too, that he's the son and the grandson of great men, and yet he's really kind of pathetic and always falls short, and everybody hates him. And so,
I mean, really, he's, this guy's pushing 80. He really should get over it. On the other hand, he still has to impress his mother because he's got a mother who's 104. So must
wow.
be.
Well, that's impressive. I'll give him credit for.
Yeah, that is, I don't give him credit for it. And the mother and his mom has a twin sister, and she's around too.
Oh, that's
which
amazing.
Means John McCain should be in the Senate for another 30 years.
Yeah, boy, I hope he, you know, his father's genes favor him more than his mother's on the longevity.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. Boy, we could be in deep trouble with this guy. I keep thinking, won't he go away soon? But he just never goes away, man.
I know.
He said that Reagan was Jason under that hockey mask, but I think it's John McCain.
Oh,
or,
yeah.
Did I say Randy? I said I Jason. Yeah, I ruined that. God damn. Sorry. Sorry, Bill's ghost. All right. Well, anyway, so now BDS, we don't even have time to talk about it, but I will recommend that people go read your article at the Huffington Post about why you're against the
I'm against
sanctions
it as it applies to all, as it applies to all of Israel. I do favor all the, you know, things that, like, the Presbyterians and others are doing, which is a divestment from any, you know, any company that does business on in the West Bank or any occupied territory.
I'm sorry for goofing around so much that we didn't give a chance to give that.
I like goofing
places.
Around with you. It's fun.
Anyway, thanks very much, MJ. It's great to talk to you again.
Same here. Bye-bye.
See ya. All right, everybody, that's the great MJ Rosenberg. He's at thehuffingtonpost.com/MJ-Rosenberg. That's pretty easy. We'll be right back. Don't worry about things you can't control. Isn't that what they always say? But it's about impossible to avoid worrying about what's going on these days. The government has used the war on guns, the war on drugs, and the war on terrorism to tear our Bill of Rights to shreds. But you can fight back. The 10th Amendment Center has proven it, racking up major victories. For example, when the U.S. government claimed authority in the NDAA to have the military kidnap and detain Americans without trial, the nullifiers got a law passed in California, declaring the state's refusal to ever participate in any such thing. Their latest project is offnow.org, nullifying the National Security Agency. They've already gotten model legislation introduced in California, Arizona, Oklahoma, Missouri, and Kansas, meant to limit the power of the NSA to spy on Americans in those states. We'd be fools to wait around for the U.S. Congress or courts to roll back Big Brother. Our best chance is nullification and interposition on the state level. Go to offnow.org, print out that model legislation, and get to work nullifying the NSA. The hero Edward Snowden has risked everything to give us this chance. Let's take it. Offnow.org. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here. Are you a libertarian and or peacenik? Live in North America? If you want, you can hire me to come and give a speech to your group. I'm good on the terror, war, and intervention, civil liberty stuff, blaming Woodrow Wilson for everything bad in the world, Iran, central banking, political realignment, and, well, you know, everything. I can teach markets to liberals and peace to the right. Just watch me. Check out scotthorton.org/speeches for some examples, and email me, scott@scotthorton.org, for more information. See you there. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new book by Michael Swanson, The War State. In The War State, Swanson examines how Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy both expanded and fought to limit the rise of the new national security state after World War II. If this nation is ever to live up to its creed of liberty and prosperity for everyone, we are going to have to abolish the empire. Know your enemy. Get The War State by Michael Swanson. It's available at your local bookstore or at Amazon.com in Kindle or in paperback. Just click the book in the right margin at scotthorton.org or thewarstate.com. Hey, y'all, Scott here. First, I want to take a second to thank all the show's listeners, sponsors, and supporters for helping make this show what it is. I literally couldn't do it without you. And now I want to tell you about the newest way to help support the show. Whenever you shop at Amazon.com, stop by scotthorton.org first and just click the Amazon logo on the right side of the page. That way, the show will get a kickback from Amazon's end of the sale. It won't cost you an extra cent. And it's not just books. Amazon.com sells just about everything in the world except cars, I think. So whatever you need, they've got it. Just click the Amazon logo on the right side of the page at scotthorton.org or go to scotthorton.org/Amazon.